So here's a situation that comes up all of the time. I've saw it a million times when I was at the Oblon firm, where you'd have two corporate entities involved in invention. And I assume many of you here, patent attorneys or patent agents, registered practitioners, raise your hand if you're a registered practitioner, represent. It's very common to have multiple entities who claim ownership in the same IP rights and who come to counsel and want one law firm. They don't want to pay for multiple law firms to prepare and prosecute a patent application, so they come to the law firm. And, you know, typically the way these things work is that you've got a client, a main client, and that main client comes to you and says, yeah, we have this case, here's the application, there's a number of inventors on it, these guys work for us, oh yeah, there's this third inventor too, he works for this other company, it's part of a joint venture, we're developing this new tech, blah, 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 so please handle, and you intake it, you do the work, you report out everything to your client, the one that referred the matter to you, the one you consider to be your client. And so the question is, though, when you take on that representation, when you're doing that, if, when you're in that scenario, who are you representing? Are you representing, if it's a case that comes in, let's say, from a foreign associate, or frankly, could be from a domestic referral source, are you representing the referral source, the foreign associate, or the domestic U.S. referral source? Are you representing them as their counsel? Well, in many firms they refer to their foreign associates and to their and to people that refer regular amounts of business to them as their clients, and they use that term though very loosely. They're using that term as because they believe those are their very real clients. Those are the ones that are feeding us the work. Those are the ones who we're sending our invoices to. Those are the ones who are the conduits for us. We don't survive without them. So of course they're our clients, aren't they? And the answer to that is, well, sort of yes and sort of no. It depends on what you mean by client, because there's a couple of different ways you can define what a client is. If we're saying client in the sense that I'm using the word right here and now, in the legal technical sense of the word, no. The foreign associate's not your client. It's not their IP. We don't care about their IP. They are a conduit. They are probably, most likely, an agent for the client, but they're not your client. So when people use the term client, I always found it to be vastly confusing when trying to clear conflicts. When I asked who the client is, and they'd say ABC Law Firm. I was like, what, for a patent application? Is it ABC's patent application? Because if they're not owning the patent themselves, then they're not our client. You can call them whatever you want. Pick something else. Don't call them client. You know, just use another word. What about the inventors? Sign a power of attorney. Jeez. I mean, what else do you need? I empower you to be my lawyer, to prepare and prosecute and do business before the USPTO on my behalf. The inventor signs it. You file it. All right, are the inventors your clients? Who many people here think that the inventors who are employed by the corporate assignee, a corporate owner, are in themselves clients? No one? No one at all. Okay. Well, the answer is probably not. They're probably not your clients just based upon those facts alone. If the inventor is obligated to assign, if they are employed inventors or otherwise have a contractual duty to assign their rights in the invention to the employer, then there are cases from the federal circuit and district courts that hold that even though those individuals empowered you with a power of attorney, which would seem to be the sine qua non of forming an attorney-client relationship, right? A power of attorney, what more do you want, right? But the courts that have looked at that scenario in our space, anyway, I'm not saying this would apply outside of the realm of patent law, but the Federal Circuit cases on this, starting with the Sun Studs case from, I believe it was the 1990s, says that, well, that power of attorney is really just a technical formality, and it doesn't in and of itself form an attorney-client relationship. Okay, so we got Company A as being one of one of the clients, but remember, this is a joint venture. And one of those inventors worked for somebody else. And we don't know what they are, right? We don't know whether they're employed or unemployed. We don't know what the connection is between inventor three, I'll call it. We had two inventors from company A. We've decided company A is our client. But what about company B? Hey, company B may have rights, or inventor. If this third inventor, who we're not really sure about where they're from and what they're doing, they may very well be our client, in fact. They may very well be a joint client with company A, if that inventor does not have an obligation to assign. And if that other inventor has an obligation to assign, then their assignee, company B, would also be a client. And so you have company A and company B as joint clients, which might be perfectly acceptable. However, think about it. Remember, our duties to our clients are we've got to communicate, we've got to act diligently, we've got to avoid conflicts of interest. All of those rules that apply, they apply then to company B as well, even if we don't want them to be our client.